LifeWork, a show dedicated to the untangling of life through real experiences. Let's talk about the good, the bad, the hard-fought, the messy, and the triumphant. Through the pillars of faith, fitness, food, and family, we discover our pursuit, our hard work, our heart work, our life work. Grab a cup of coffee, your fave water bottle, or a glass of wine, and let's unravel. And now, here are your hosts, Christy Reed and Natalie Tooman.
All right. Hello. Welcome to another episode of Life Work, the podcast. Today, we are super excited. We have a dear friend, Crystal Gornteau, here with us, and we get to interview her and hang out with her for the time being. So, hey, Crystal.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, so excited. You guys, Crystal is just one in a million. I have been so honored to know her for the past several years, and she has just been such a blessing to me, and I know that she is to so many other women. So she is the founder and chief love amplifier of Heart Stories, which I can't wait for you guys to learn more about that organization. She's a wife and a mother who has left her successful career to start Heart Stories because she knows what it's like for women to rush through life on autopilot, which I think we can all kind of relate to, you know, losing touch with close friends and the truth about themselves in little pieces along the way. So Heart Stories was born out of her passion to help women to hear love louder than all of the negative noise in their lives. She hosts monthly Girls Night Out. She speaks and blogs about life and learning on the journey of leading Heart Stories. And when she's not focused on Heart Stories, she can be found exploring the great outdoors, snort laughing with her girlfriends, or dancing like a maniac with her boys and her husband, Scott, which I absolutely love and would enjoy being a fly on the wall to see.
Right?
No, you may never talk to me again if you were a fly on the wall.
It'd still be fun though, because I don't have that fun part. And you do. And that's one thing that I think I am so drawn to is you feel like you just seem to have this zest for life, you know, this love of life that I've always just admired about you. Have you always been like that?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to start right there? Huh?
Yeah.
this year I've learned, so I'm an Enneagram 7 and I knew that before, but this year when I brought Shasta in for a girls' night and she started talking, I started learning about, I always thought, oh yeah, I'm just the fun one. That's who I am. And then I started really learning about sevens and they're fun because sometimes that's the way they avoid pain. And so I'm like, and as I started looking back on my life, I think that's true of me. I think I was the third born. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk all about that later, but yes, I love to have fun. It's truly who I am, but I'm learning as a grown-up that sometimes my fun and my busy and, let's go do something new is to avoid maybe what's really happening right here. So.
That's interesting.
We jumped into the deep end. I know.
We
I know
did. I like that. Hey.
Exactly where you were intending to go, but yeah, but it's true. And yes, I've always been that way. Little instigator.
I love it. Well, okay. So we want your tips on how you make life work because, you know, like we said, you're a business owner, you're a wife, you're a mom, you're a community thought leader, to be honest, you're an influencer. So we would just kind of love to hear how you have been making life work, especially in light of everything that's been going on in our world right now. So first of all, as a boy mom,
two boys.
I'm sorry. What are their ages?
They are 12 and 14. 12-year-old will be 13 in November. So lots of hormones around here. They're both bigger than me, both way more than me, taller than me.
You are in the thick of it. Yeah.
But yesterday they were babies. So I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're super, super passionate about that title of boy mom, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So what are your tips and your tricks and just your way of life with dealing, you know, and being a boy mom, especially of teenagers right now in the culture that we live in? Like how are you making that work for you and your family?
Gosh. So my tips and tricks in all of life are just like shut up and listen and learn from others. I don't know what I'm doing ever. I think when I say that I love being a boy mom and like what you said about embracing that title, it's because I love to have fun with my boys and I love to get my hands dirty and I love literally to be dirty, which is would not work out very well probably if I was a girl mom. But I am learning, especially even now, to embrace. I'm reading this big giant book, and I said, listen, I always want to learn from people who've gone ahead of me and figure out, like, they've learned some things and hopefully I don't have to fall in that same pothole that they did. Tips and tricks. I'm reading a book right now called The Boy Crisis that is blowing my mind. And it's such a fascinating read for me. It's like 4 inches thick. And,
oh goodness.
And it's based in research and it's just an amazing book, but it's fascinating because it's about what has happened to our boys and men as a result of the women's empowerment movement, the women's movement that started in the 60s, and how women are gaining down the roles or what that's doing boys. And so it's fascinating for me because I am, you know, leading the charge for women's in my own circles, women's empowerment and women's fulfillment and becoming all you're meant to be. And oh, wait a second, what's that doing to boys and men? And I have 2, 3 that I care for more than anything in the world. So way more than empowering women. And so it's very interesting, but I think for me, it's about learning and paying attention to what others are doing. And in my home with my boys, we have made it a point since they were itty bitty that nothing's off the table as far as conversation. And I think that has saved us in a lot of ways. And I, you know, there's a lot of 5 years of teens ahead of me. So, but we, you know, started calling private parts what they were when the boys could speak. We mm-hmm. always talked about, like whatever we were reading these books as they were kids. They were called God's Design for Sex. And they started at like, I think 3, they start really young and they have like, you know, watercolor pictures of mommy and daddy. And then they go to I think it was like 3 to 6, 7 to 10. I don't know. There's 4 books. And then, but you read them at each of those stages and it opens up these conversations and it talks about things that the people who wrote the books, probably now it's even more advanced than it was then.
Yeah.
Things that they know their friends are already talking about, things they're going to hear at school, things they're going to. And so you're having those conversations at home well before they happen elsewhere. And when my boys, I was pregnant with Oakley and Noah was, you know, they're only 16 months apart. So Noah was a baby. At our church, this woman came and her name was, oh my gosh, I'm not going to say her name because I think I might mess it up. But she told a story about kids being like sponges and whoever fills the sponge with water first is the only, like the information that first fills the sponge is the only thing that will go in and everything else just runs off the side. And like, I remember exactly where I was sitting. And when she said that, that like shifted something in me that I'm like, oh, I am filling that sponge. Like, yeah. There's a world out there that will dump acid in that sponge, but I am going to fill it with like everything that I know to be true. And so that's sort of been my battle cry is like, be the first one to fill the sponge and like be the one that's there for all of the conversations. She tells an incredible story about that, but man, it's been invaluable in my life. I like, be telling my kids stuff, but I knew when Noah had his first kiss, I knew what it was like. I knew like as soon as it happened, like I knew that he was planning to do it. Like we schemed together about what would be appropriate and what wouldn't. And like, I'm not at all that I'm like some perfect mom, cause I'm not at all, but having conversations has been just being an open, nothing's off the table. We're going to talk about everything. And I know you may not feel like it right now, but I'm going to ask you again in 10 minutes. Like we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest acting.
Have you found that like you can't act shocked either? Like you have to just like totally take it.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much for asking me that. I'm not sure what I think. I'll come back to you on that one.
Yeah. And you go to your room and you freak out and then you come back. You're like, okay,
yes,
let's do this again.
It's always, yeah. Somebody else taught me a long time ago to be like, yeah, thank you for asking. Like to really like, no matter what is asked, no matter what is said, that you're like, wow, that's a good one. I'm so glad we're going to talk about that. And like, no matter what's happening in your body, that you're like making it a positive exchange for them, even though it was probably super awkward for them to ask. So
yeah,
Even, and it's awkward for you to answer, but everything I, my one job is to make this positive and not embarrassing. And then I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Hey, Crystal. So have you found, so I've got a 15 and 16 year old. So mine are 17 months apart. So, but have you found that you're starting to change your parenting style? Like you used to say, I will never, I will never do this, say this, respond this way, say yes to this. But as you're moving through the journey, you're realizing that you're having to kind of pivot, right?
Yeah.
You're like, maybe I would say yes to that, because I'm finding that a lot with mine.
Yes.
Right? That
I think that's, I think it's true in life, like most definitely parenting, but all of life, things that I thought I would never be the one to do. I'm like, oh yeah, totally doing that. yes, I would say that it's probably most marked right now during the pandemic that I'm like, things that I thought would never be my way are just kind of what they are right now. And learning to, I think in life and parenting, learning to just let go a little bit and be okay with not being okay, or be okay with it being very different than what you expected. Expectations, man, they really mess us up sometimes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And my kids have taught me so much just in that, you know, I used to, when they were little, I would look at the way that other people were parenting and I would say to myself inside my head so that I wasn't a jerk out loud.
Right. Right.
But I would be like, oh my gosh, I can't, literally cannot believe they're allowing their child to do that.
Oh, totally. We've all had those moments.
And you know, now with these teenagers, I'm learning, I'm like, oh, now I get it. Like, I know why they might have adjusted their parenting style, because our kids show us very quickly that's not going to work. Right. And we can try to fit them in this box, but they don't go there, you know? Yes. So we have to make those changes. So, yeah. It's quite a fun ride, right?
Oh, it's so good. Oh my gosh. I real quickly on that, I watched, I don't know if you guys ever have seen Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Conversations. Have you ever seen?
No.
It's basically not a podcast, but like she sits at a table. It's a vlog cast. I don't know what you call it. Video interviews, around a red table with the different guests. And she does one with Will and, Willow and her mom are her co-hosts. And then, she has a whole, like it was two whole episodes worth of her sitting with Will. Anyway, they talk a lot about, man, like just life does not turn out the way you plan. It's never what you think it's going to be. And like how they have, I wouldn't even call it survive, but how their marriage has become stronger through the tearing down of all the expectations, the, you know, breaking everything in half and starting over again. And I think that's just, it's such a beautiful, for me, for them, because they're like, you know, the cutest little Hollywood couple, and they've made it so they've been married more than 25 years. And to hear them say like, yeah, this is not what we expected, but you know, staying in it and committing to each other. It's just cool to see like what their process has looked like, and that it's about like letting go of all expectations. So, and trying to please other people. I think that's a key thing in parenting, that like, you know, you were judging other people, so you know, other people are judging you. And at some point you got to like, not care. Like, sorry, you don't like the way this is going down.
Right.
I'm certainly like from, you know, our parents and what our parents expect us to do as parents and all of that, just like letting other people's expectations and our own dreams and expectations go and being okay with how it is.
Yeah. And I find that kids too, like they sit there and they compare, right? They judge us like our own children.
Sure.
And compare us to other parents. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and so-and-so can say, oh, good for them. I'm so glad they have their mom, you know, like, exactly. Well, so-and-so's mom can say, oh, that's awesome. I'm glad that's their mom, but I'm your mom. Mm-hmm. This is how this is going to work.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, and I think I was just thinking about this yesterday, in fact, that my skin is a lot thicker as a mom of two teens. And because, you know, my kids have shown me, oh no, we're totally going to do all the things that you said. My kids will never do that. They're like, oh no, no, we're going to do all of it. And then some, and we're going to teach you things that you didn't know we could do. And so, you know, that's put me in a position to have to respond to that with my children, but also with other parents. And, and I wasn't prepared for it because remember I said they wouldn't do it.
Yes, so totally.
It's forced me to have to, you know, you build that fortress around your family very quickly. And so I've gotten tougher. I'm literally like water off a duck's back. And Nat can tell you, I have not been like that. I mean, this is a new thing. But now I'm kind of like, well, come at me, because it's that protective mother instinct that quickly you become like, okay, yep, they're not making great decisions. But at the same time, it's time for us to rally as a family. Mm-hmm. And then you push out anybody who is going to get in the way of that. Yeah. And it's just like armor, you know? So it's cool that I've watched my children teach me how to toughen up in so many areas. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And also, I think there's something really beautiful about what you said, that you're protecting them and what you know is best for them and all of that, but you're also like separating from them. I feel like what you said, and it's at least what I've felt, is that like, hey, if my kids are making decisions that are disappointing me or whatever, like it's not me, and it's not a result of my failure as a parent, and it's not all these other things. Like it's purely because they're growing up and they're human, and this is the road they're taking. Like, and not to be so, I think when my kids were younger, I felt so defensive of their choices and their behavior. Like I had, like it was some sort of reflection on me. And I think letting go of that and letting them be who they are, has been huge for me as a parent.
Well, and two, it's fascinating. And you're like, just the wonder of it all. When I look at my children and, you know, I can see me and both of them, good and bad, but then they're also these amazing humans that I can't look at their dad or me and say, oh, that's where that came from. They're just truly, which, you know, reminds me of God, right? I'm like, no, because he created them on purpose, for a purpose, and so uniquely. And while I have a hand in that, I'm not going to not give myself, you know, a pat on the back, but they're them, you know, and that's a God thing. And so it's so cool to watch them even in their screw ups, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know, even in their mistakes, to watch them kind of muddle through it and figure it out and learn, and, you know, lots of pivoting. Right? To me, like, well, the screw up is not my greatest concern, as long as it's not something that's going to ruin your life, obviously. But the mess up isn't the thing. It's what happens after.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's really where I want to help my kids the most.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here? What did we learn, and how do we fix it? It's like at 15 and 16, closer to 17, they've already gotten just about all from me that they're going to truly, right? Now it's just about helping them navigate things. Like, let's start application. Let's apply what we've learned, the sponge, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a guy, he is a psychologist for kids in McKinney. His name's Ken Wilgus. And he's a good friend of Scott. My husband's a therapist. He's a good friend of Scott's, but also just an amazing guy. But we heard him talk once, and I was like, oh, I think because my kid, it was maybe like a year and a half ago. So my kids aren't, you know, they aren't teens yet. We're just now starting to enter those waters. And he talked about that your role as a parent once your kids are in high school is to not be managing them anymore, to give them, because you were talking about, you know, it's okay if you screw up as long as it's not going to ruin your life. Like his mindset, and of course I'm not going to quote him exactly, but was that have all the screw ups you want while you're under my roof so I can help you navigate them. Because if I'm keeping you so locked down that you can't screw up until you leave my house, then I have no influence. I have no way to help you navigate all of that. And, so he was talking about like all the rules, the curfews and all the things, not that you don't have rules, of course you do, of what, you know, can happen in your house, but more it's about letting them go out and experience the world. And then working through and navigating the consequences and the what comes next things with you, because you've built the foundation. Like you said, everything you want them to know and believe about the world, you've been pouring into them for all these years. So now let them go try it out a little bit and see how it works, and come back and disagree with you, or come back and have a broken heart, or, you know, I don't know, a ruined driving record or whatever, but then help you, let you be there to be with them and walk through what's next. And I'm not there yet, but that was some just beautiful advice. And I feel like it's a lot of what you're saying, that like let them have some screw ups while they're still with you so that you can help them navigate. Yeah,
for sure. You know, and I can think about people that I went to high school with that, cause I'll be honest, I was terrible in high school. I got almost all of my really, really dumb decisions done in high school.
Lucky duck. Yeah.
Well, I said almost.
Yeah, almost. Okay.
Almost. But I think, while, you know, I certainly wish I could go back and, you know, fix a few of those, I'm not glad all of them happened, but I feel like, you know, I watched some of the people that really didn't seemingly screw up, you know, at least from the seat I was sitting in, it didn't look like they were ever doing anything wrong. They were perfect, you know, air quotes. And then in college, here we go. So once they've left the nest, then they lost their mind a little bit. And so I think I kind of do, just like what you said, I want my kids to go ahead and make some mistakes so that we can work through them before they're out on their own. And I just feel like it's not as hot of a mess, right? Okay, so like we could talk about that forever.
Yes, right? Most definitely.
But I want to talk about how you make life work as a business owner, because being both mom and business owner, I mean, there's a lot of navigating you do there. But before you talk about that, I want to know what you did before Heart Stories.
Sure, yeah. And I think it's important, because what I did before gave me a perspective going into this that it's important as to why I keep going. So before, I was a flight attendant right out of college. And then I sold pharmaceuticals. Once I met Scott and didn't want to be gone every day of the week, I got a job just selling pharmaceuticals, started selling magazine ads and then pharmaceuticals. Then decided that the next rung on the ladder would be selling medical devices. And, you know, everybody said I'm sure things have changed some, but then girls couldn't sell medical devices. It was too hard to get in. And certainly somebody who had been selling pharmaceuticals could not get in. And one of the things about my spunky personality is that I'm like, you tell me I can't, and I will prove you wrong. That was like, you know, the epitome of what I wanted to do. And the money was so good. And that was like amazing. So that's what I did. Sold medical devices, and only did that for about 3 years. And the money was good, and the life was relatively easy. I mean, I left the house really early I had cases that would start. I had to be there at 5:30 in a town 2 hours away. Like, I was gone a lot. And I had a nanny. I had a nanny who was amazing. She was our nanny when both of the kids were born, and she was with us, I think, for 6 years. So I trusted her implicitly. But once I got the device job, and so when I was in pharmaceuticals, I was a super easy schedule. So I would take the kids to school and pick them up, and I was there for all the performances and, you know, there for everything. And then in devices, I had to leave before they woke up. So she would come, feed them breakfast, take them to school. She would pick them up from school. And she was wonderful. Her name's Maria, the most loving woman. But then there came a point that I was like, wait a second, I'm making all this money and I'm having, and like, it was fun. It was a fun job, but it wasn't super meaningful to me. The only thing that was meaningful to me was the goals and like where I was going and being able to achieve and make more money, essentially. And I made more money than I ever dreamed that I would, more than I ever dreamed I would. Until one day that I would love to tell you that story, but it's a side jaunt. But one day I just thought, what in the world am I doing with my life? I need to do something different. I'll go ahead and tell you the story because it's important for later. I was sitting in church. It was Super Bowl. It was the weekend of the Super Bowl in Dallas. It was in, was that 2010? I don't know, long time ago. But they were doing, the church was doing a big focus on sex trafficking. And so they had all these different organizations there talking about like sex trafficking being local. And like, here's what happens during the Super Bowl. And I, little Southern Baptist girl from Oklahoma, was like, no way that's happening here. That happens in India and over in Asia. Like all, it does not happen here. And I, like, my heart was broken wide open. I grabbed a flyer from one of the tables out in the lobby and went, like, in my mind, I went straight home, but the kids were asleep. So they must have been, we must have had lunch and they went down for a nap. Sitting in front of my computer, and I watched this video of a guy named Rob who founded Love 146, and he told the story of this girl who they did like a behind the scenes thing, and he was watching through a mirrored glass these girls who were all going to be chosen. She had a number on her dress. They all had on red dresses and they all had numbers pinned to them. So the perpetrators got to choose their number through the mirrored glass, and the girls were all watching a cartoon on TV. And he said, most of all the other girls were watching like with glazed over eyes. They knew what was happening, but this one little girl came in and was excited and was watching the TV. And later he asked what was happening, and they said, she's not been here before. She doesn't know. She thinks she's just watching TV. So I am sitting at my desk, like broken heart, bawling. Gosh, I can't keep doing what I'm doing. Like, there's so much pain in the world. And I still, the connection to trafficking was so strong then. I'm like, I got to do something about this. But I hired a coach and went through this whole process of like, I don't even have girls. Why? And I've never, to my recollection, been sexually abused. Like, why is this so big to me? And anyway, I have sisters, and I have three sisters, and obviously a mom that raised me with my dad. And it started to emerge that like, what happens to women, and then what, like you were speaking about, what happens next is so important. Like what you choose to do, what happens next. So my sisters in all of our lives growing up, we all like chose very different paths. And at the time when I started Heart Stories, our lives all looked very different. They all look a little more similar now. But it was, and my mom, like her past and her history, like all of the things came together. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to help women connect and tell their stories. Like that was what emerged out of that, is like, we need each other. And when we don't share the stories of our past and our current that are real and authentic, like we get lost in trying to be someone we're not, and trying to just cover up all the pain and charge forward. And it is not good. It's not pretty. What happened? The choices that we make when we're not being open and authentic. And friendship, it was crazy. I was talking to women during that time, like, I'm thinking about leaving my job and starting something to help women, but like, I need it. Like, we were just talking about, like, when do you feel the best about yourself? When do you feel the most empowered? When do you feel encouraged, inspired, and all that? And every single time it was like, when I'm doing this. Like, I'll be sitting across from somebody having dinner or sitting in a group. And it was always about like, when I'm connecting with other women who know me, see me, love me, and I can have an honest conversation. And so I was like, okay, that's it. That's my life work. I'm going to connect women and like, they'll be my battle cry for them to have authentic conversations. Because although it's awkward, although we don't practice, because we live in a Pinteresty perfect Instagram world, I know the medicine is that when we tell, you know, sitting like we are today without all of the defenses, without the shields, like being honest about who we are. And so that's where Heart Stories began, was like telling the true story of your heart. And it's been, you know, crazy journey of all the things I've tried to do. I built an app in the beginning, then had an online shop where I told stories of women entrepreneurs, and I've gone through, it's been a very windy journey to get to Girls Night. And of course now we're in the middle of a pandemic where I can't host a live event. So it shifts again. But since the beginning, the battle cry, the mission has been reconnecting busy women to inspire the joy you're craving and the courage to pursue your purpose. Because I believe that reconnection is the secret sauce. And we'll learn whether that same reconnection, which I believe it can happen online, the same way that it can happen in person. I say I believe it can. It's not the same, but I do believe it can happen online. But yeah, that's, and so and so you were asking about momming as a business owner, and I told you the whole story. So momming as a business owner, to me, it was part of the decision to leave. Like, I was like, I'm standing in an OR selling devices to doctors while someone else is raising my children, and the money is there, but is it worth it? And so as part of the whole journey to build Heart Stories, it was like, I want to be present with these kids that I adore. And that journey for me has meant like, oh gosh, mommy's a lot harder than I used to think it was because I'm here all the time. And certainly working while momming in front of my kids is very different than working while momming, leaving the house. Because, you know, before all I did was like went to work and then I came home and I got to be fun mom all the time. And now I'm prison warden mom and trying to find spaces to be fun mom. So one of the things like for me that helps is I feel like even as I'm saying it, I'm feeling like, oh, people are going to judge me. So I'm going to say it anyway. But like that, I sometimes just like right now there's a note on the door. That's a recycled paper, but there's a note on the door. Don't you dare come in here. If you wake up while I'm on this podcast, don't open the door. For me, it's about like when I'm in my space, when I'm working, I can show my kids what a boundary looks like. Mom's not available. I'll be available in 10 minutes. Mom's not available. I'll be available at noon. We'll have lunch. My kids are old enough so they can figure it out, right? And pandemic has been like a whole new level of y'all just figure it out. As long as you're not like tearing the house down or no one's bleeding, please don't bother me. I've got to finish this. And it's, I hate it. Like I hate the rigid boundary of that sometimes. But what happens is whenever I do get in there and we have lunch or breakfast or whatever, we're dancing, we're laughing. Like I have a sorry game that I keep like pulled out on the table. So while we're trying to have lunch with them every day. So while we're having lunch, they're like, do we have to play this? I'm like, yes, we do. And yes, I'm going to play The Greatest Showman over the speakers because we're going to dance. And y'all, you know, they think I'm a fool, but they're like, you know, that's kind of a Fortnite dance, right?
You know what? They are going to remember that forever, like forever. And it will become one of those things that they look back on and it's just, yeah, now they think that you're crazy. All of our kids think we're crazy, you know, right? And we just pray that we're not screwing them up too badly. Like,
no.
And I was like, is today the day I'm going to screw you up for life or are we going to keep going?
No, it's not because you're being human in front of them. I think two things quickly. One of them is they call me the crazy old lady, Noah more than Oakley, the older one. And I embrace it so much because I loved the movie Moana and the grandmother with the big tattoo on her back. I'm like, call me the crazy old lady and I will teach you where the water is. Like we will go to the water. And if that is my legacy, bring it on. And then the other thing is there's this woman named Sally Hogshead that I absolutely adore who has, she's an author, but she has a test called the Fascination Advantage, but she says all the time, different is better than better. And again, part of like, put it on my tombstone, baby. Like I don't like when they tell me, mom, that's so weird. Or mom, like, you know, all the things I'm like, be different. It's better than better. You'll never be better than everybody, but you can be different and you are different and all these amazing things about you. So that's like a momming mantra, is that difference better than better. And I think it's true for us too, that when whatever we do that's different, that people judge might like, you know, people may judge how I'm parenting my kids through the pandemic, but like, I've got to be me. I've got to do what works for my family and that's okay. It's different than what you do.
I love that. I love that. Different is better than better. Like I wrote it down. I'm going to remember that one. Yes.
So did I.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So first, what does success look like to you? What is the meaning of success? Like when you look and you lay your head down at night, like what is success for you?
I mean, in its simplest form, and it's like, this has nothing to do with the bottom line of business, but in its simplest form, it's loving people well. Like that's success in my life. Like if I die and that's the only thing I did, now I'm going to cry, but if I die and that's the only thing that's left, then I did good.
And you're doing great. Just so you know, it radiates. I'm telling you, it's such an honor. Okay. Where can people follow you?
Heartstories.com, GNOathome.com, heartstories.com/GNO, all those places. Heart Stories will lead you to the main website, which is in need of renovation. And then the Heart Stories GNO is where we host our monthly events that we're now doing online.
Awesome. Which are amazing. So what's cool about doing it online, because usually it's been local. So yes. What's so great is like we have a, Christy and I have a friend even that's been able to join a couple of times from out of town and out of, you know, people from out of state. So I love the connection that you have provided, you know, for the immediate area. But what's really cool is getting to see people from all over get to experience your life mission that they wouldn't have been able to do before. So it's been a cool thing to see. You have to pivot, right?
But yes.
It's reaching so many other people. That's really great. So hopefully some of our listeners will, you know, tune into that and hop on a GNO because it's pretty great. Pretty great. Okay. Last thing. So we have our fast five. So we have five questions to ask you and we just want first thing to come to mind.
Good luck with that. I'm not very good at answering fast, but I'll try.
All right. Top knot or ponytail?
Oh my gosh. Back bun. I don't answer. Is there an option C? I can't do either one. They give me a headache. So always a bun with spin pins.
I love it. Lipstick or lip gloss?
Gloss.
Amen. Stay in or go out?
Stay in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Audible or book in hand?
Audible. Well, no. Okay. Audible when I'm moving, but book in hand, like if I want to remember, I got to underline and highlight and everything.
Touch it. Toddler phase or teen phase?
Oh, teen.
Yeah. What is your go-to punishment for the teen phase?
Punishment, like discipline for the kids? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Removal of Fortnite or the iPad in general, but
yeah. And does it work?
Oh my gosh. Yes. They'll go from, you know, sassy pants, like saying whatever they want to say. And I'll be like, okay, no problem. Just bring me your iPad. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm so sorry. What can I do? What can I do to earn it back? Like, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. This has been, I knew it would be. I have been looking forward to sitting down with you. So I am just, I knew it would be amazing. So thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you guys for what you do. It's not easy to do this work. Podcast, everybody thinks it's just recording a conversation. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And you guys are giving that as just such a beautiful gift to the world and women who need to hear the stories you're sharing. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for sharing with us how one other way we can make life work.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure to visit our website at lifeworkthepodcast.com where you can subscribe to never miss a show. If you loved today's episode, please take a moment to share with your friends and rate us on iTunes. Talk soon.